Hello and welcome to Air Intelligence, a podcast brought to you by Field Controls. I'm your host, Michelle Dawn Mooney. Today, we're talking about navigating environmental illness, legal insights, and advocacy. And I have a great guest for that conversation today. Christina Baer is an attorney and founder of Just Well Law. And I am so thrilled to have you with us, Christina, because we have a lot to talk about. So thank you for being here today.
I'm glad to be
Before
here.
We kind of dive into things, can I ask you to give us a brief bio if you can?
Sure. I'm the founder of a law firm called Just Well. We represent sick families against the companies that made them sick. And basically, I came to this from my own painful journey. I grew up in patent litigation. I was top of my game when I got sick. And I was on a quest to get well. And I eventually learned that my house was slowly killing me. And I started a law firm to help others who were also sick. And the rest is history. It's been 3 years. We now represent over 7,500 people, many of whom are in Hawaii. We can talk about that really exciting case. But we have clients all over the country who are standing up to the people who poisoned them and their families.
So as you said, your personal story is what led us to this point. So I want to hear a lot more about that. But before we kind of tap back into that, can you start off with regard to the big picture here? We're talking about environmental illness. What exactly is that? Can you define environmental illness? What does it encompass?
It encompasses anytime you've been poisoned. And I don't use that word lightly because there are institutions out there who know that their products or their houses or whatever they're providing to the consumers are poisoning. And they have toxins that they know about and the consumer does not, or the client does not, or the patient does not. And anytime someone gets sick because of a toxic exposure, that becomes environmental illness.
Why is it so difficult sometimes to diagnose and therefore treat as well?
Mostly because people don't know that this is happening to them. It's like you're a boiling frog. You're in an environment, you don't know what's making you sick. Maybe you haven't learned about environmental illness. You don't even know the questions to ask. You go to doctor after doctor after doctor and they're well-meaning, but they tell you things like reduce the stress in your life, exercise more, eat better, and you do those things and you don't get better. So it's hard to diagnose because the people who are doing the diagnosing don't have this in their toolkit. They don't even know that it's a thing.
I want to go back to your story now because that really started this quest for you. I'm sure not only to find answers for yourself, but then to find those answers for other people who may be suffering as well. So tell us about your journey there. What were you experiencing? The difficulty maybe, I'm assuming, in diagnosis and then getting the treatment. How did you handle all that?
Well, I was sick for years and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. I had these intense migraines that I never had before. I had rashes that came and went. I had inner ear pain, just intense inner ear pain. I felt like I'd been hit by a truck. The fatigue was real. And there seemed to be nothing I could do to get better. And so I go to a series of doctors, both traditional and homeopathic or integrative. And all of them are telling me the same thing. You know, you run at really high speeds. You have 4 kids. You work in big law. You're a big partner. This is not a sustainable life. And so I quit that job and I went to the government and I called myself Christina 2.0. And I loved my government job. I was an assistant U.S. attorney. It was an amazing job. And I was reducing stress in my life. I was gluten-free and sugar-free and dairy-free and exercising. I was Christina 2.0. And I was still sick. And in fact, I was getting sicker. And then it all came to a head when they sent us to go quarantine at home. You'll remember those times when we were all shut in 2020. So I'm unbelievably sick now. And finally, I went to a doctor who gave me a mycotoxin test and said, go test your house. And I started putting two and two together. And I will never forget that weekend. I started reading about it and I thought, oh my gosh, this is what's happening with my kids. Because during COVID, when we were all shut in at home, 2 of them had had a significant neurological shift. Like they just became different kids. my younger kid was regressing in his developmental milestones. He was running into walls. He had bruises all over his forehead. And my daughter had become violent and was beating up her big brother. So I started putting the pieces together by the time the inspector came. And then the inspector came to my house and he sat down on my living room couch. And, you know, it's like pest control, right? You don't anticipate them actually talking to you. And he said, tell me about your kids. And I told him about my daughter. And he said, I often find it behind the wall of the kid most affected. And so he took a flashlight to her wall. And then he took an air sample right at her wall and he found Stachybotrys. And we opened that wall and it was full of black mold. And then we learned that it hadn't been flashed properly. Basically, the roofer and the mason were there at the same time. And so the roofer had made the flashing, which is waterproofing, the metal look like it was done properly to pass inspection. But he knew that it was not correct. And he allowed water to intrude into that house. And so that's why I call it poisoning, right? Because if you take that deposition, you talk to the roofer, you say, okay, you rigged this, right? Yes. You knew that there would be water intrusion, right? Yes. You know that water intrusion causes water damage. Yes. And you know that water intrusion causes water damage and water damage causes mold or can cause mold, right? Yes. And you know that mold is harmful to the family that's living in the house, right? Yes. Well, I mean, here's a person who made a choice, who set in path and a whole environmental illness, as we said, for this family. That's poisoning. He didn't set out to say, okay, I'm going to poison this family, but he made a choice and the result was entirely foreseeable. And that's what the law is for. And of course, we learned that that was just the tip of the iceberg. There were all sorts of problems around this house that had made the house become toxic for us. And then we were quarantining in a toxic house during COVID.
I can't imagine what that was like for you. And then the continued journey, not only coming out of that, but, you know, the healing process mentally, physically, emotionally. So let's talk about specifically when we're dealing with these toxins, because a lot of people, it comes to education, right? We just don't know enough. So you mentioned a specific toxin that was the culprit in your case, but what are some of the most common environmental toxins that can impact health? And can you also talk about the symptoms that they might induce?
Great question. The indoor air quality is a huge problem in America right now. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but these houses are going up so quickly, houses or apartment complexes. And I believe that the landlords and the builders just don't care. They don't care or they don't know. And so they're building units that have air conditionings that are not sized properly, that then grow humidity, that then grow toxic mold. Now, the problem with that, and it's not just toxic mold, it's also VOCs, et cetera. The problem is that we're building very tight houses in tight buildings. And we've become so energy efficient that if there's something toxic in the home, there's no air that's flushing through. So the house becomes, I call it toxic level, because you're now breathing that toxin, whether it's VOC or water damage and mold or whatever it is, that becomes your indoor environment and you're not getting the fresh air. So these houses used to breathe. They used to have, you know, the air coming in and out through the walls. But now it's so tight that if it becomes toxic for any reason, it makes people very, very sick. So that's the air quality. And then separately, I think there's another huge problem, which is water quality. You know, you grow up trusting the water you drink. You trust that the government's going to provide safe water. You trust that a landlord, by the way, is going to provide safe air. And so you don't think about these things. You don't even investigate because, of course, it's safe. I grew up in Manhattan. And every time we went out for dinner, you know, my dad would joke and say, I'll have the Giuliani special, because he was the mayor of New York at the time. And, you know, everyone trusted the water. The water was safe. Well, I don't think you can trust people anymore. I don't think you can trust the government. We saw in Flint that they were providing water with lead. And in Hawaii, my clients were drinking water with jet fuel. Well, what's in the water? What's in the water? So those are two forms of environmental illness caused by toxic air and toxic water. But then there are, of course, others too. There's, you know, pollution outside, and there's water that you swim in. And there are lots of different forms of toxic exposure and environmental exposure and environmental illness.
So what would be your advice? I mean, clearly you battled for a long time until you figured out what was going on. And a lot of people get sick for a variety of different reasons, right? So it's not something, if every person said, you know, I might have an environmental illness, they're probably not going to be accurate. So what would your advice be to someone who thinks, you know what, this could be me? What step would they take?
I would ask, do you have symptoms that depend on your environment? In other words, can you tie them to when you moved in or when you started doing something? Or when you start going someplace. But I think if you're sick and you can't figure out what's wrong with you, I would just ask you to keep trying. Don't stop trying to figure it out. And if you find a doctor who's gaslighting you or saying it's no big deal or you're fine, find another one. Because there are doctors who will help you get to the bottom of it. And often they're integrative practitioners who are looking for root cause. Some people might say they're root cause doctors. Go and get some testing. Check your blood levels. Check your hormones. Check for environmental exposures. Like, do you have heavy metals? Do you have mycotoxins? There are tests that you can do. And if you find a good doctor who's willing to be in it with you, you can really get to the bottom of what's going on.
That brings me to my next question, because talking about healthcare and needing to find those doctors who will listen to you and hopefully can find the root cause, of course, there comes a price tag with that. So let's get into the cost of fixing things on many levels, because I can't even imagine what you have been through, what your children have been through. And there's not only the medical costs that you would incur, but then there's also dealing with the people that knew that they were doing something that potentially could lead to harm. So let's go into the cost with this. What are some primary legal obstacles when it comes to getting payment for either costs that you are being forced to pay to get yourself well again, and then the future of the impact of making whoever is responsible for that pay?
The cost is real. First of all, there's a cost of the house, right? Or fixing the problem. And if some remediator comes in and says it's going to be $10,000, they're not right. It almost always requires a significant work, replacing the HVAC, fixing the HVAC. If the walls are contaminated, you might need to replace the walls. It is real, and it's very expensive to fix a house. Now, that's if you own the house. If you don't own it, you might just want to get out. And even if you do own it, by the way, you might want to get out. Because my advice to the listeners more than anything is that if you find yourself in a toxic environment, please get out. Whether that's by fixing the environment you're in or by leaving altogether. Because I've had 4 clients die in the houses that I told them to leave. This is incredibly dangerous. And you think that you can't afford to leave. And I understand that. You know, you think, well, I'm going to have to pay a new security deposit. I'm going to have to pay moving fees, all the things. True. And you can't afford to stay. Because if you stay, you can get very sick. And then you can't even work. So you need sometimes to invest in your own health, to rebuild your health so that you can go back to the working world. Remember that whether or not you can operate, and you don't even realize this until you're so sick that you can't. I have never been so sick that it interfered with my work. But suddenly I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office and I couldn't work a 40-hour week. In part because I had all these doctor's appointments to go to for myself and for my kids, but also because I didn't feel good. And I was in this haze and I couldn't see straight and I was tripping on my words. And by the time I left that house, I had a tumor that needed to be removed. I had collapsed and gone to the emergency room. I had POTS. My body was so wrecked. And I was so sick. Now, I didn't know. I mean, as soon as I knew how toxic it was, we got out. But there are some people who think that they can't get out. And those are the people I'm speaking to. Once I got out, I started rebuilding my health at enormous cost to my kids. And integrative doctors are who you want to see. Now, there's certainly a DIY mold exposure detox plan. There are great providers out there who give out their information for free to the people who can't afford it. So you can do this on your own, but it's best to have a doctor to help you. And all of that becomes incredibly expensive. So legal options, you know, why do you bring a legal case? Well, in my case, because I had to, right? We literally ran out of everything. I mean, because you're paying for alternative expenses while you're rebuilding. You have to live somewhere else. Then you're paying the construction costs. You're paying double living expenses because of the mortgage. Then you're adding on construction to fix it. Then you have all these new health costs. Remember the story, how I said I had left my big private job to go to the government. I don't have as much income anymore. So we literally lost everything. And to the point, my father-in-law took out a loan on his house. That's how underwater we were. But again, all of that is over now, thankfully. We sold that house. We couldn't move back in. By the time we paid all that money to fix it, we were just so in debt, we had to sell it. But we're now debt-free. My husband and I are doing way better financially because we're rebuilding our life from a place of health. And now, my story is not every story, but I do know from all my clients that when they get well, they rebuild their financial life too. And part of these lawsuits is I need to recover as much as I possibly can for my clients so they can use that to go well. My firm is called Just Well because I truly, that's all I want. I want people to be well. I want to be well. It's about wellness and justice, but when you are sick, there is nothing else you possibly want in the world. All you want is to get better. The same is true with a sick kid. You know, when you're healthy, you have lots of hopes and dreams and plans. But when you're sick, you only have one. And my job is to help people to get back to a place of health so that they can move on with their life and do the live the life that was envisioned for them, live the life that was designed.
And I'm so glad that you shared that, Christina, because, you know, you might think from the outside, not dealing with something that you have dealt with, okay, well, clearly you have to deal with the doctors and the health aspect, but then there are all the other issues, as you said, with construction, where do we live? Do we still live there? Do we move? All of these extra added stressors when really all you want to do is just get well. So from an emotional standpoint, you're being pulled, mental, physical, and then of course, financial. So in addition to legal representation with Just Well, you emphasize advocacy in raising awareness about environmental illness. How do you empower your clients through advocacy? And what steps do you take to educate the public about these critical issues?
Well, this firm is all about our clients because I was there too. So I never tell my client to be quiet. I have a college student who I represent who went to the local newspapers and said, I want you to know what happened to me. I love that. I love that because transparency brings accountability. We have to bring these things out into the light. We have to educate the public about the choices, the bad choices that these big institutions are making are causing very real harm. And there is something we can do about it. And what we can do is, one, we can educate others, but two, we can stand up and bring claims. And the justice system is entrusted with enforcing the safety rules in our country. Well, they need the claims. That doesn't work the safety rules won't be enforced if people don't stand up and bring a claim. And so there's this movement of people in America who are standing up and saying, I will not let you poison our families anymore. And yes, it's about compensation because they need compensation so that they can move on and get better. But it's also becoming the hero of the story where they stand up and say, no, I am calling you out on behalf of not just my family, but all the families to come, because what you're doing is not right. So it's about empowering our clients to speak up for themselves. And we just give them a forum and a platform to do that. Every chance I can, I pass the mic to my clients so they can tell their own stories, so they can bring these things to light.
I want to talk about those stories briefly. I know we've got so much to cover here. We're getting tight on time here, but you have had success stories for your clients. And, you know, the biggest success would be to not have to even go down this path. But unfortunately, that's not the case. You can't avoid this in some instances. So tell me about some of the good news, that the positive things that have happened and have come out for some of your clients, if you can.
Well, one of the cases that I got in my very first weeks at the firm was a case from Hawaii. And they called and they said, I've been poisoned, can you help? And I flew over there and it was a case against the Navy, because the Navy had contaminated the water with jet fuel and hadn't told people not to use it. But worse, the Navy was standing up and gaslighting everybody and saying, don't worry, it was in and out of your body. So, well, yes, there was, first of all, they didn't tell anyone about the fuel at first, and they totally lied about it. They said that there wasn't a fuel leak for a few days, and they said the water was safe. Well, then they admit, okay, the water's not safe, but the fuel was just in and out of your body. So the people who went to the emergency room, 7,000 of them who were vomiting and having acute exposure symptoms, don't worry, you're going to be fine. And that's not accurate. That's not true. And so I started speaking out and saying what was true. And then we held these town halls and I invited my clients to the bike. And I said, speak out, tell people, tell your compatriots here, but also tell the media and the Navy, who is probably listening in, what this actually is. So since then, there's been an incredible 60 Minutes piece. There's been lots of media drawing attention to this issue. So we're educating about what the Navy did. And then the Navy admitted negligence. So we have prevailed in the case. The first environmental illness case that we know of to prevail against the United States. That's extraordinary. So all of those clients are now part of history. We're waiting for the judgment to come down from the court about exactly how much for these representative families who went first. But can you imagine being part of that movement, those 7,000 clients I have who have made history together? And in the midst of it, they've found one another. We have a WhatsApp group for them where they can share resources and talk to each other about the symptoms that they have. And, you know, has this been an easy process? No. It's not an easy process. The justice system has flaws just like any other system, but they have prevailed. And the government, even in the process, shut down Red Hill. And that itself was extraordinary. So, you know, that's just been an enormous win. And our clients don't have money yet. So now we're waiting to get them the compensation that they deserve. This case is about accountability. And I believe that we have that. We have that by bringing the case in the first place, by bringing it to light, by the 60 Minutes piece, by the media, by all of that. I think that in itself is accountability. But every case needs to have accountability, that deterrent effect, and the compensation. And now we wait for the compensation. And the compensation needs to be enough to have that deterrent effect. And so those are the purposes of tort law. And we need both in every case.
An incredible win, as you said, is still waiting to see how things finish up. But just all the things that you mentioned happening, you know, really kind of a landmark case there. So it has to be so exciting for you to see real change happening from what you're doing. With that, what changes in legislation and public policy concerning environmental health do you hope to see in the near future? And how do you envision the growth and evolution of your company in terms of expanding support for these families affected by environmental illness?
Well, I recognize first and foremost my small piece of a larger movement. And there is advocacy and legislative advocacy to be done. My friends at Change the Air Foundation are doing that, and that's amazing. In my lane, I am bringing as many cases as I can against the big landlords and the big builders to show them one case at a time that these choices cause real harm. And I promise you that in doing that over and over and over again, we are creating a deterrent effect. It's kind of like a police car in a school zone. If you can drive by that school zone and you're at 35 every day of the week and no one catches you, you just keep doing it. But when you get caught that one time, you're at 26 miles per hour when you were supposed to be at 25. You're going to think twice every time you're driving in that school zone because someone's paying attention. And so that's what we're doing. We're paying attention and we're going to call people out when it happens. And we're going to make it public and we're going to educate the people who work at these companies. And we're going to have depositions where we explain, hey, when you made that choice, do you see what happened here? Do you see how you hurt somebody? Well, we hope that the next time they won't make that choice. And I'm an optimist. I believe that system works. Is it perfect? No, but it works. And I think legislative advocacy works. And I think medical advocacy and educating doctors about all this, that's important. And in fact, there's an entire integrative field of medicine and environmental medicine. And I think what they're doing is amazing. They're educating people about what's happening to their own bodies. And they're encouraging people to test for these things, to think about their air quality, think about their water quality. I love that. I just think that the law has a seat at the table. You know, we should have this. I'm a justice and wellness lawyer, and I want to add this tool to the overall movement.
And in no way, you know, getting back to your story, can anything take away everything that you've dealt with and the pain and from a financial, emotional, physical point, but to know that there is a switch and that the tides can turn and more positive things, as you said, you like to look on the positive side, change can be made and for the better is really such a great thing. So I know a lot of people listening, they either maybe see themselves in your story, maybe they're dealing with something similar, or they have questions, they want to learn more. Where can they go? Where can you send them?
Well, my hope for them first, my prayer for you, if you're listening and you are where I was, my prayer for you is that you would get well enough to help others. There's nothing that will take away what happened to you. I am not one of those people that says it all works for good. I don't think that this was good. I don't think what happened to you was good. And I want you to get well enough to help others because I believe with every person that I help, every person that I educate about this, my creator is redeeming that story a little bit. One case, one person help at the time. So join our movement. I believe it's a movement. We follow us at Just Well Law on Instagram, or our website is well.law, but join the movement. We want you to be part of it.
Christina Baer, attorney and founder of Just Well Law. Christina, thank you for being vulnerable enough to share your story with everyone. And congratulations on what you've seen happen so far with trying to help all of those people who are dealing with similar things. Really appreciate your time and appreciate your story and that you are doing something to help others who are dealing with the same thing that you're doing and hopefully preventing more families from having to go through that as well. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank all of you for listening and tuning in to the Air Intelligence Podcast brought to you by Field Controls. Of course, if you like this conversation, please subscribe to the podcast so you can hear more engaging stories like the one you heard today with Christina. Until next time, I'm your host, Michelle Dawn Mooney, and we hope to connect with you on another podcast soon.